WPHM. Now back to the Paul Miller Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, 13 past 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning. We have been hearing the term fake news a lot, and we started hearing about fake news toward the end of the 2016 presidential election campaign. President Trump has co-opted the phrase to mean anything that he disagrees with or doesn't believe coming from mainstream media. He calls it fake news. But what fake news really is a news story planted perhaps by one of our enemies to appear to be a real news story. This is something that our next guest has dealt with a lot. She is a research scientist with CNA's Center for Stability and Development. Vera Zakhem is online with us right now. Vera, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How prevalent is fake news? How big of a problem is it for us?
Well, fake news has been going on for so long now, for the past decade, even longer, long before we in America started paying attention to it, as a fallout of our presidential election in 2016. The real issue here is that disinformation, propaganda, fake news, different terms, but very similar in terms of meaning. The goal here is to instill fear, chaos, and confusion through creative and innovative use of media, including social media. And the idea here in today's political discourse, this is how conspiracy theories are spread, and they reinforce filter bubbles that isolate readers from alternative viewpoints from major platforms and social media news outlets, to the point that instead of fact-checking data sources and thinking critically, citizens submerge themselves in a cloud of paranoia and the unknown. So the real issue with fake news becomes that we end up becoming victims of disinformation due to often our lack of critical thinking. Now, if I may, the reason that this is such a big problem is that in the 24/7 news cycle, we have a need to access, process, and spread disinformation in nanoseconds without actually stopping to think whether it's actually true or false. And the real issue here is that if it's high entertainment or sketchy, or if it comes from trusted sources, be it your colleagues, friends or family, or anyone who you think is a trusted source, we are more likely to click on that piece of information or website and actually spread the disinformation.
Absolutely. And so it's easier than ever now for our adversaries to spread this propaganda, the fake news, isn't it?
That is correct. So, for example, let me just point to Russia here. Russia has been doing this for much of the last decade, and arguably since the Cold War, when active measures were part of their strategy. Again, disinformation and propaganda are key elements of its broader influence operation in an effort to undermine Western liberal thought and undermine democracy and meddle into other countries that it may want to interfere with. Again, it goes back to sort of what is Russia has at stake here. So just to give you a couple of examples, they use state-funded media sources, whether it's RT or other entities, Sputnik, which enables for free to advertise information, as well as cultural events and NGOs, for example, Ruski Mir, which is Russian World, to spread disinformation. So a couple of examples in the last decade, we saw in the 2008 Russian-Georgia War, where they use information operations, campaign and disinformation, along with cyber attacks on Georgian infrastructure and president's websites to influence the outcome every day of what was actually going on the ground during that war. In Ukraine, during the Crimea crisis, there was a plethora of conspiracy theories and fake news, and certainly during the Malaysia airline incidents. And let's not forget about the Balkans, Montenegro, Serbia, and Macedonia, where Russians have been interfering in their societies. And in Montenegro, they are on mark to potentially become a member of the NATO. So, again, they've been doing this for a while. This is nothing new, but I think we're really paying attention to whether it's Russia or ISIS or another adversary are focusing on spreading disinformation, because we are so sensitive to it right now as a result of our election.
Well, yeah, and I think what is so insidious about this, Vera, is that a lot of people who consider themselves to be patriotic Americans, if they knew that what they were reading and sharing was Russian propaganda, they wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, but it is disguised to look like something from another patriotic American, something that they feel they should share with all of their friends and family, and that's how it spreads, isn't it?
It is. And again, so going back to the point of the critical thinking, if it's spread by, regardless of what side of political, on what side of politics you're on or on the aisle, if you think it looks and feels like a real news story, and if your instant reaction is, wow, this is really catchy, this is something I need to share with my colleagues on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere or another platform, this is how it starts. And because, you know, we are less likely to, when we see something that maybe is not a complete website, that doesn't look and feel like one or a news story, we are less likely to go after and think, stop for a moment, for about 30 seconds, to think, does this sound like something that's potentially true or false, or potentially the source of propaganda, and actually go out and corroborate that source of information with other websites, with other news organizations that we think or we may believe are more credible, or even in the research community with other grounded reports that are based on actual data, where you have results that are supported by data.
And that sounds great, Vera, but I mean, doesn't the president do a disservice by discrediting the legitimate media by calling it fake news? And therefore, as people see things in the mainstream media, they tend to discredit it and disbelieve it. And they go to alternate sources to find what they believe is news. And it really becomes very clouded and difficult for millions of Americans to know what's real and what's not.
You have a very fair point, and you know I will let your viewers judge what the how the president views the media and what is fake or not. But I think again, going back to what it really is a problem with critical thinking for first and foremost. And I think we as active citizens have a role to play in countering fake news and disinformation, and that starts with critically thinking about the information that we receive. So you're right. There is traditional media, there is new media, there is social media, and let's not forget, you know, in our discourse, without the online world, we're talking about these news stories as well, and disinformation and fake news can be spread that way as well.
Yeah, it's very difficult, very scary and insidious. We'll continue to follow this. Vera, we appreciate your insight and your time this morning. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.